Hi, the Black Talk Media Project would like to invite you to become a member of the BTR Community subscription-based social media platform. BTR Community is a platform that was set up for the listening audience of Black Talk Radio Network, the number one independent Black radio network online. For just $24 per year, your subscription gives you access to an interactive space to share information with like-minded people with your privacy guaranteed. Your subscription will go a long way to help us maintain and improve our current media platforms. It will also help provide a budget so that we can begin the task of establishing localized media centers and radio stations across the United States. The best way to show your support and appreciation for what we do here at Black Talk Radio is to subscribe. Help us to help you be informed. Join BTRCommunity.com today.
The views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Greetings and hello, however you would like to put it. Welcome to Blacks in Business Radio. Today is March the 22nd, 2018. Can you believe it? I'm just so shocked. The year is flying by so fast. What's the weather like where you are? Here in St. Louis, it's a little bit bipolar. Last week it was very warm, but today it's kind of cold. But you know, I guess everybody's having strange weather. Over on the East Coast somewhere, they're having some storms. We pray for those people and everything that they're going through. May you make it out okay. This world is just having a time right now. Lots of things going on in the news, from school terrorist attacks to things in the Middle East. All these things are going on, but we still have to run our businesses, right? Yep. So that is why we are here today. I am one of your hosts. My name is Cece Harry, and I am. I will be joined by my Robert 11X. He should be en route soon, but he is resident. You know, sometimes we have those things happen where we kind of running late because we have business. But I am here and present and accounted for, and we're going to talk about business as usual. So today, let me go ahead and read our flyer. It says BIB Radio, Rideshare, and Street Team Studios. Join us today for Blacks in Business Radio. In the upcoming episode, we will discuss making money with rideshare opportunities and also Airbnb. And you know, rideshare basically is talking about the two big players, which would be Uber and Lyft. There are some smaller ones. There are some that have been axed because they didn't make it, but the two main ones are Uber and Lyft. And I could talk to you about both of those, actually. So then I put a link there, of course, another link, and it says, did you know there were Black comic book creators? In our second, boy, I was in a rush when I did this. Did you know that there are Black comic book creators? In our second hour, we will speak with Joe Curry of Street Team Studios. What are they doing? And also their take on the whole Black Panther phenomenon. Is there room for more greatness in the comic book field or Black artists? Join us and find out. So Joe Curry, along with some of his colleagues, have created a whole world of comic books and I think they did a movie. We have to talk to them about that. The last time I was talking to them, they were creating a movie. But, you know, Black Panther has taken off. And, of course, we all know everybody has had their opinion on Black Panther and whether they like it or not, or whether it was coonery and buffoonery and this and that or whatever. What do you think? What did you think about Black Panther? If you saw it, we want you to definitely call in and talk to us about it. Our phone number is area code 704-802-5056. And if you press star six? What is it, Scotty? I don't know why I can't remember today, but star six to get in on the discussion. But yeah, we'll see you in queue if you come on and you want to talk. Yeah, star, not six. Yeah, I was definitely in a hurry when I did this write-up today. I think I did it in the car as I was driving for Uber, as a matter of fact. But yes, just press star, and we can definitely get you in on queue. I know why I'm off, because we haven't been on air in a couple weeks. Yeah, that's what it is. But yeah, no excuse. We've been here for 2 years, so I should remember, but it's all right. So we have a couple of guests with us in queue. If you all want to talk, feel free and press star, and we can get you in, especially if you have saw the movie Black Panther. Make sure that you join us in the second hour. I do see that I have my co-host waiting. Brother Robert, welcome.
Welcome. Thank you for welcoming to VIB Blacks in Business Radio. How are you, CC?
I'm excellent. Have you landed to your spot safely?
I am en route to that location right as we speak. So if I'm too loud, I already know I'm going to be muted.
I don't hear anything right now. No, I was just wondering if you got home safely or not, because I know you were kind of in a rush, but that's okay. So thank you for joining me today. I appreciate it. So you know, today our topic is about ride shares and Airbnb. You and I have been talking about those things all week long. And like we do, we always bring the matters that we are... Oh, you might want to put your seatbelt on. The matters, because we were fine before your seatbelt started going off, but the matters that you and I talk about, you know, because we are business people, we like to bring it to our listening audience. So that's what we're going to discuss today. But, you know, the first video today I have in queue, if Scotty's going to play it for me, is Watchman Yahoo. I listen to their ministry all the time. It really helps me throughout my whole life. And so Watchman Yahoo actually did a video, I don't even know how old it is, but he was talking about poverty, and I was listening to it, and I was actually surprised. He basically was talking about entrepreneurship and how he had this vision that he would not work for anybody, that he wouldn't work. You know, that's what he said, I wouldn't work. But people misunderstood him, and they, you know, quoted the Bible scripture, if a man don't work, he don't eat. But that's not what he meant. He didn't mean that he doesn't want to work. He just meant he didn't want to work for anybody because he felt that it was so oppressive. And I was like, man, that would be so good for the show. So what I did was actually got that video so that you all could hear a part of it. It was actually the first one that's in queue that I sent to you, Scotty. If you don't see it, definitely let me know, because I will share it with you. Okay, send me an email. I sent it to you email. I sent all of them to you in email. But let's see here. Okay. So, okay, so he sees it. But anyway, so basically, you know, it is so enlightening to see other people really talking about entrepreneurship. A lot of people have been doing things for quite some time, and you just didn't really know about it, you know, because it was a side hustle or whatever. But, you know, we are continuously wanting to help you all get into doing something for yourself. I mean, if you listen to Tando Radio, you know how important that is. If you listen to our program, you know how important that is for you to do some things for yourself. because these jobs are folding. They really are. What happened? Toys R Us went out of business this week. Did you hear about that, Robert?
I sure did. They folded.
Yeah, bankruptcy. You know. Yeah, bankruptcy. I mean, that's a company that you would not think that would go under, because you always need toys, right?
Well, you would think, but you know, a lot of these companies are, you know, companies that were started up over 20 years ago, and they didn't make the technology adjustments that needed to be made in reference to building a great internet presence. And as you, just like mm-hmm. with the malls, if you just stay brick and mortar structure with the high rent, okay, you can't stay in business like that. So you have to stay current with technology. And there's a show in Vegas that highlights it's a trade show that highlights all the current technology trends, whether it be in retail, whether it be in the cell phone industry, whatever. It's called the Consumer Electronics Show. And there is a broad spectrum of information at that show for all different genres that use technology. And retail uses technology now. So I mean, they didn't make that switch in time, evidently, and so they couldn't service the debt, and they went bankrupt, and now they're no longer in business. So just like a lot of other businesses, you know, that we are so used to shopping with, and they're no longer around. So
listen, are you if you are able to pause and go inside, that would be great, because your phone is breaking up. I can hear you, but I want to make sure that our listeners can hear you clearly too. So
yes, ma'am. I just pulled up to the house too. So
yeah, okay, perfect. So what's gonna happen is while Reed Scotty's coming, he said they were bought out by Mitt Romney's Bain Capital and backloaded with over $5 billion in debt that has become due. Toys R Us was one of the larger employers in Gastonia, North Carolina, in terms of big box stores. Wow. So that's a lot of people with lost jobs. And that's why, people, you must do something for yourself. This is very important. And we want to help you do that every day. And that's why we're going to talk about ride sharing and Airbnb today. So, Scotty, if you want to go ahead and roll, what's his name? Watchman Yahoo's video, that would be great.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone.
Shabbat Shalom.
Today's lesson is going to be about the war on poverty. Now, I'll tell you why I want to go here, because there's some things that I've seen over the years, and boy, I got to tell you, it's a real war on poverty. You know, there's a scripture I want to bring to your attention. And this is in Ecclesiastes. If you want to turn to it, it's Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 19. A feast is made for laughter, and wine maketh merry, but money answereth all things. Isn't that a very interesting scripture? Money answereth all things. Well, the reason for that is there are a lot of problems that most people say, go through in their life. Many of these problems are based on the lack of money, poverty. And over the years, I've come to learn that this is the area where the enemy fights you the hardest, is dealing with money. Now, he fights you when it comes to the spiritual things and getting in the word and getting into all that stuff. But you know why he fights you harder with the money? It's because he know if he can distract you money-wise, then you're going to be distracted when it comes to getting in the word, studying the scriptures, prayer, And it's going to distract you when it comes to a lot of different things. And I'll show you what I mean by that. What I mean by it is that a person that's struggling financially is a person that can be so perplexed in his mind until he just won't know what to do. And that feeling and that struggle that that person is in, it has actually forced many people to go down wrong paths. Okay? So I want you to understand that.
Not to mention also the fact that because like if take a person that's poor, for instance,
right,
they can get very discouraged and wondering where their money is going to come from, and they can get stressed and be.
I'm sorry, I started the video at the wrong spot. I didn't see the time marks that you wanted, so I will, that's on me. I will go ahead and forward it to the appropriate spot in this video, because I was looking, I was like, wait a minute, this video is like 40 something minutes long. So let me get there, CC.
Okay, it's fine. The thing is, we will place the whole video in Blacks in Business Facebook, Blacks in Business Radio Facebook page, so you all can listen to the whole video, because it's very good. But I just wanted to highlight a little bit of it to intrigue you, you know, to let you know that, you know, there are other people out there that are just, they have this in common. You know, they have struggled with the fact that they want to be entrepreneurs, but other people are trying to pull them in another direction. So I wanted to make sure that you all have this information. So we'll let Scotty start it at the point.
That while I worked jobs for people, I always felt like I was oppressed. Always. No matter how much money I made, I always felt oppressed. It was always a sense that I was in some form of slavery. And I never couldn't put my finger on it, what it was, but I determined that there's nothing like freedom, like financial freedom. Because that financial freedom is something that just frees your mind in such a way to where it's just unbelievable. So I want to talk to you about this, because many of us, you do that. You go out and you work these jobs. You work these hard jobs. And so basically, working for these companies can be very stressful on you. It can really just do you in. So I want to bring out some things. You know, one thing too, another I think about when I say talk about financial oppression. You work for less wages than what you really should be paid. I mean, it's all kinds of things people do. They do all kinds of these companies. Let me tell you something. I remember I worked for a company, okay, and this company was a multi-million dollar company, right? And I was a sales rep for the company. The owner of the company owned some 3 estates and 5 mansions, decided to pay our little office a visit, okay? Real rich guy, big, fat, rich fella, you know, Caucasian figures. But anyway, this guy, let me tell you what he did, right? He comes, and one of the other sales rep who was my partner, they sent him to go pick him up from the airport. So we picked him up from the airport, and on the way coming in, the guy was like, you know, I'm hungry. He said, can you stop over at McDonald's and get me something to eat? And he's like, okay. So he stopped over at McDonald's, and this rich millionaire was like, well, I don't have any money on me. I don't carry money. I only have credit cards. So can you buy me lunch? And the guy was like, well, dude, I don't make no money here at this company. You know, I don't make any. And the guy, he went on and did it because he was the head boss, you know. But he did it, ended up spending some $6-7 on lunch for this guy. But when I finally talked with him, he said, man, I'm very disappointed in this guy. He said, because $6-7 is a lot to me. You know, that's a lot to me. That's like lunch for me for 2 days for me, you know. And he said, this guy just comes in, flies in rich like this, got all this money. And let me tell you about this rich dude. He had so much money, I'm telling you, it was crazy money he had. And yet, he was paying us so low as sales reps. We were raking in hundreds of thousands of dollars for this guy in our particular office, and yet he was paying us some mediocre commission, and he was sitting back getting rich, just literally getting rich off all the work that we were doing. Isn't that oppression? That's oppression. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's oppression. And these are some of the things that the enemy used, you see, to keep you frustrated, keep you upset, keep you on pins and needles. You know, that you can't think and be free.
All right. Well, I just wanted again to share that with you all. Because, you know, a lot of people are still struggling with, you know, starting and owning your own business and just doing some things for yourself. I recently met a young lady, I would say this week. I met her on OfferUp. If you know about OfferUp, it's a place where you can buy and sell items that are used or new. But I met her, and she's a wonderful artist. But because of different struggles, she is unable to really exercise her gift and her craft, and she is really talented. And so I just really want to make sure that we are doing our job in offering you all help. Like, if you need help in like brainstorming on how to get off of that job, make sure you give us send us an email. We are blacksinbusiness@gmail.com. Brother Robert, what did you think about that video?
Well, what came to me, because the brother and the sister are very spiritual people, the two of them, and I so appreciate that perspective of entrepreneurship, because I always have said to the body of the believers in the Nation of Islam here in St. Louis, that, and to my brothers and sisters that I talked to in the past, that entrepreneurship is not just about the money as it is about spirituality. Entrepreneurship, it actually helps develop your spirituality in terms of your faith. I mean, this is the most faith-based task that you can take, is entrepreneurship, because you are now liking to survive like a bird, like a dog, cat, that is wild and in the streets or in the jungle. They're surviving on their natural God-given instincts. When you are an entrepreneur, you're surviving on your knowledge that you have acquired. And sometimes we go into entrepreneurship without the knowledge. So it is strictly about faith and belief in a vision. Don't know how you're going to get there, but you have this belief, and I got to do this, and I know it's going to happen. And I always say that this strengthens your faith. I remember when I first started that I didn't know what I know today. I didn't know any of what I knew today, but I knew, because I had gotten in trouble with the court system, that a job just wasn't for me after being in the streets, making money in the streets. I knew a job wasn't for me, but I didn't have no knowledge of retail outside of drugs. So mm-hmm. I jumped into, with the first thing that I had was, you know, air freshener. And by having the faith and taking the first step, God, I opened up the door for those type of people to approach me. And that's what happened. When you're an entrepreneur, once you walk out by faith, you take the first step, there are doors that are going to be open to you that you don't even know that are waiting to be open. But by you stepping out on faith, those doors become open for you. People going to walk right up to you and speak right into the need that you have. And that's when you know that a God is present, and he is actually blessing you for your faith.
Mm-hmm. That's true. And, you know, people have become so accustomed to, I'll liken it to, like, the school lunch line. You know, you get in the lunch line, you know they're going to put some slop on your plate. You already know that. I mean, you don't even have to think about it. You know, you just walk, get in the line, somebody's going to throw something on your plate. but we're not used to making our own plate. You know, we're not used to deciding what we're going to eat ourselves. So fear comes in, you know, and you cannot have both fear and faith. They just, you know, they cannot flow out of the same fountain. So you either are going to walk in faith and expect your blessing and things to work out like they need to, or even better than what you thought they would, or you're going to walk in fear, which will only allow you to be in the same place repetitively over and over again. And then later on, when you get older, live in regret the rest of your life, in regret, saying, I wish I would have done this. I mean, I know a lot of older adults that say that now. They wish they would have done this, they wish they would have done that, this and that, this and that. But, you know, because they were walking in fear, and you know, the lack that, you know, Watchman Yahoo was talking about, you know, you all have to listen to the whole YouTube video. And again, we'll put it in We Are Blacks in Business. You know, that lack makes you just,
I want to comment on the word fear. I want to give the people a perspective that when you hear the word fear, you break it down like this. It's F-E-A-R, fear. False evidence appearing real. Fear.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is. False evidence appearing real. And it's not real. It's not real. It's nope. Like the boogeyman in your mind. That's what fear is.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, we want to, you know, we just start the show off to let you all know, you know, we are still here for you. Reach out to us. If you want to talk to us, you can definitely do that. Just email us at weareblacksinbusiness@gmail.com. If you would like to call into the show, feel free to do so. We are here every Thursday at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. Our number is 704-802-5056. Okay, Scotty, you want to move on to the next video, which is talking about rideshare, and I'm going to mute myself because somebody is apparently hurt outside, and there's an ambulance. So I'm gonna...
What is ridesharing? Ridesharing, or ride sourcing, is when companies provide taxi-like services by connecting passengers to drivers via a smartphone app. While ridesharing is similar to taxis, there are a few major differences. One. Rideshares are hailed on short notice and typically cannot be arranged in advance. 2. Also, when using rideshares, you enter your pickup and drop-off locations in the app, so your driver will automatically know where to go when you get in the car. 3. With rideshares, once you arrive at your destination, you can simply exit the vehicle. Payment will be processed via your credit card through the app. 4. Lastly, unlike taxis, rideshare companies are not currently government regulated. Each company has their own rules for hiring drivers, including background checks and vehicle safety requirements. There are many ridesharing apps currently on the market, such as Halo, MyTaxi, and Curb, which all hail existing taxi cabs, and Uber, Lyft, and Sidecar, which act more as a peer-to-peer service, with drivers using their own cars to pick up passengers. For more information on rideshares, visit taxifarefinder.com/rideguru.
All right. So that was a little video on ride sharing. Many of us have taken Uber and Lyft, and we so appreciate Uber and Lyft. I mean, that I remember trying to worry about taking a taxi. As soon as you get in a taxi, they're charging you like $5.50. cents, if not more, depending on where you live. So to have something like Uber and Lyft has totally been a blessing. Not only, as Scotty says, you could actually create a localized ride share by creating an app and recruiting drivers. Yeah, Scotty, that's what Robert actually is going to do. I'm not going to say wants to do, that's what he's going to do. But, you know, where was that? Yeah, Uber and Lyft. They have just totally been a great invention for the rider and the driver. I myself have done both of them. I have been a rider and a driver. And, you know, especially if you're out of town and you don't want to go through the expense of doing car rental, they are excellent. If you have something going on with your vehicle, they are excellent. If you are at an event and you want to park your car and not have to worry about getting around, they are excellent. So, you know, if you want to become a driver, and so many people are afraid still, like I've heard people afraid of taking an Uber or Lyft. They're afraid to get in the car with somebody that they don't know. I mean, I guess I can understand that to a certain degree, but I don't know. I think people just let so many things overtake them, and then they miss out on great opportunities. I actually did a video a couple weeks ago when I first started driving for Uber. And because I had previous experience with Lyft, I was able to, you know, really give some helpful tips. One of them being, you know, just make sure that your car is always clean. Me, I don't advocate for smoking, but if you smoke, if you're a smoker, make sure you don't smoke inside your car, because you definitely don't want to offend the people that are riding with you. You don't want to have food smells in your car, any of that stuff. You just want to make sure your car is always clean. Robert, do you have anything to say?
Well, yeah, I mean, the opportunity is great for Uber and Lyft. I'm always excited about the minds, those type of minds that create those type of opportunities for people. And as Scotty said, you know, the thing that excites me is creating your own ride share app, because it's really simple to do. It's just getting it out there, and I don't think that that's a big challenge as well. It's just, you know, you just have to keep pushing and keep pushing and keep pushing. And but yeah, that I just love the thinking of the people. And I'm gonna find out the name, actually put a face with the names of those peoples of Uber and Lyft, so that I can identify them once I see them. But that, just that whole mindset to do something that is that revolutionary to an industry that has been around for decades and has been very unreliable in terms of timing. You just never could get a cab when you wanted it to be there on time. And here's Uber and Lyft, and just use technology. And again, going back to like Toys R Us that didn't use the technology, where these guys capitalized on the use of technology. And in a very short period of time, they have created an industry that has made more money than the cab industry has ever made in the time that they've been. You know, most of these cab companies have never seen $80 billion. You know, I think that's what, I think, if I'm not mistaken, that's what Uber itself is worth, over.
Well, I'm looking here right now. I looked it up online, and I guess this is Wikipedia. It says, Uber Technologies, Inc. is a peer-to-peer ride-sharing food delivery and transportation network company headquartered in San Francisco, California, with operations in 633 cities worldwide. Its platforms can be accessed via its websites and mobile apps, which they have a website, Wikipedia, Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn. It was founded in March 2009, so next year will be, you know, their anniversary there, their 10-year. Revenue is $6.50 billion USD in 2016. That's in 2016, so 2 years ago. Headquarters again, San Francisco. CEO is Dara Khosh. Ooh, I don't know how to say that, but it's a black woman. Founders are Travis Kalanick, Garrett Camp, Oscar Salazar, and there's several subsidiaries that they are linked to, because, you know, they, of course, have to get you qualified, and they just go through different companies. For instance, they have Uber Eats, and that is just basically ride share service for your food that you want. So you order food and Uber goes and picks it up and drops it off to you. And I know when they had me sign up for that portion, I had to sign a whole nother set of documents by Razor LLC, which they do have listed here. So it is quite the business. It's quite the corporation. And as you know, Uber is always like in the news. As of recently, they were doing some testing of their self-driving car, and unfortunately, a lady lost her life because she got hit. The details are kind of, I don't know, kind of sketchy to me, because there was a person in the car in case something like that happened. But, you know, unfortunately, a lady did lose her life. We'll probably put that story in Blacks in Business Radio also. Now, what I'm trying to do now is I'm going back in my information. And if you would like to actually sign up for Uber and you have more questions, of course, you can reach out to us again at weareblacksinbusiness@gmail.com. But I'm looking for my code. Where is my code? I had it somewhere and I don't see it now, but we'll definitely dig it out for you guys. But yes, it is definitely an opportunity. You want to know how you get paid and all that stuff. It's quite simple. Like, you know, they have a tier for the different trips. Oh, here I am right here. They have a tier for the different trips. For instance, like normally I would make between, I would say, depending on the trip, $4 and $6, maybe $8, right? So those things add up. It's great. But it all equates to about $21 an hour if you're an hourly person. But today, this morning, I got up earlier because I have also a commercial business cleaning. I got up earlier, and as soon as I turned the app on, because that's what you do, you flick it on. I turned it on. As soon as I turned it on, there was business there. And that's just usually how it is because I live in sort of a busy part of the town. So as soon as I turned it on, I was able to go around the corner to the Marriott Hotel and pick a lady up. I picked her up and I drove her to the airport. The airport area, if someone has to go to the airport, it is a higher rate. So I actually made $35 in about a 12-minute drive. So you really can't beat that. And then later on, I turned my app on and it was, lo and behold, another airport trip. But this airport trip was only $17. So maybe it was the time of day. It was a little bit less. But it's still, when you add those numbers up, it just really makes good sense, you know. And if you are a person that likes to get your money right away, this is definitely a great thing for you to do because Uber accumulates your money. And whenever you decide that you need it, you just press a button and it goes right into your bank account so that you can use it anytime you want. There's no waiting period. Like, you know, for instance, like if you're familiar with using Square, you know, Square has you wait unless you do like this instant thing. If you have $50 or whatever, then they let you transfer it over. But Uber, nope, you can have $3 in there. And they charge you 50 cents to do an instant transfer. If you choose not to do an instant transfer, then what happens is every Monday they take your money and then they put it in your account and then it arrives by Thursday. Now, that's if you don't want to pay the 50 cents. But I mean, I've not had a problem. My money's always been there and I'm just so appreciative for the opportunity. You know, like I said, your money's there right away. It's great. Lyft. I don't know really how they operate now because that was a little while ago that I did that. So we know that they're both in, you know, competition with each other. And I don't really favor one over the other, you know. As long as I'm not paying a taxi, I'll take either one of them. And they usually have some coupons or some kind of thing that you can get like a free ride or $5 off of a ride or something like that. You just have to look for them like on Google or what is that other thing? Groupon. I think Groupon has some things in there too. But it's definitely worth investigating if you've never ridden anywhere in an Uber or a Lyft. If you haven't filled out the documentation online and you would like to do something like that, if you just need more information, just reach out to us. But back to what I was saying before, if you want to sign up with Uber, I would appreciate it if you use my code. My code is, you can type in HTTPS, it's kind of long, :// partners.uber.com/i/SISIH154UE. I actually think that when you're doing this and you type in a code, I think you can just go ahead and use my SISIH154UE, and that will get you right where you need to go. And again, if you need help, reach out to us. We are blacksinbusiness@gmail.com. Okay, so
now
that
I want to flip something. Scotty, are you still on the line or can you hear me? Can you come on the line for a second?
Yes.
Okay, now you had mentioned, because now we just gave you all one aspect of ride sharing. But Scotty mentioned that that you can do the ride sharing, create your own ride sharing company yourself. So, Scotty, what does that look like from your perspective, being the computer literate as you are? What does that kind of look like? Give us a general idea, and if you are willing to actually work with a person that may want to actually create a ride sharing company, because we need a black ride sharing company, since we're spending 1.8 however many trillions dollars into this. I think it's 1.8 billion or trillion. I didn't forgot, but nevertheless, we're spending that kind of money into this economy. We should have a, if not already there, and I think we had some brothers on the show at one time out of Washington, if not, I'm not mistaken, CC, that does a transportation company.
No. It actually, I was going to mention him. He actually is out of New Jersey. His name is Derek Brock. And right. Derek Brock was on our show a few months ago, and we will also drop that link into We Are Blacks in Business Radio, and you all can listen to it again. Along with Derek Brock, there's some insurance involved. Derek is actually insured by Yolanda Spivey, and she has Michael Whitney and Associates Insurance Company. And because he has a transportation company and he is insured by her, I can pretty much guarantee that you can get your insurance through her without a problem.
Now, Scotty, can you tell the listening audience, from your expertise, what that looked like to actually try to get something like that started? Do you have that information?
I mean, I have general information. It's not something that I could create. You know, that's not something I do. I don't create apps. I mean, it's not that hard to do, but there is some level of expertise you need. But I was just coming at it from the perspective of listening and seeing how it's unregulated. Okay, these ride sharing things, it's from what I understand, I'm sure Uber and Lyft do have a business license and you know, their headquarters, and they're running a typical business. But in terms of you know, regulation and what have you, I don't see that is happening. So if I was interested in such a thing, I probably would start off, you know, small, locally or whatever. In whatever city I'm in, let's say I was in Charlotte, I would see if I could recruit some people, just like how you recruit family members who may want to invest in a business, or you may know some people that need to make some extra money and be like, hey, I got this idea for this ride sharing thing that I'm exploring. Would you be interested in driving? So, you know, you want to make sure that you have some drivers to start with. But to me, the most important thing is hiring a developer to create the proper app, because like was mentioned in the video, all it is an app where you put in your location and your destination, that goes to the driver, they come pick you up and then drop you off. So I mean, that's not a very complicated app, in my opinion. So I would just get with an app developer, because that app is basically the business right there. So you want to make sure that it is easy to use, or as they say, user friendly, because you know that they say first impressions is everything. So you know, you want to make sure that your app is right and it's user friendly. And then the rest is just recruiting some drivers to start up and then just get going.
But well, what I would recommend, too, as a rider and a driver, if you are going to do something like this, I would say that you should put yourself in the place of a participant, meaning a rider and a driver, so you can get firsthand experience of how it goes. I think that is the best approach, because then you can kind of see the ups and downs from both ends as you would start your own company. That would be my perspective.
Yeah, and I have used Uber, and my sister currently drives for them. And she's a school teacher, but she, for extra money, she does Uber.
That's good. I would love to have talked to her online. But okay, so let's go ahead and read about Lyft. Lyft is an on-demand transportation company based in San Francisco, California. They're both in San Francisco. So has one created their own competition? I wonder. Okay, so it says it develops, markets, and operates the Lyft car transportation mobile app. Launched in June 2012, Lyft operates in approximately 300 U.S. cities. It said Uber was 600 and something, I think, including New York, San Francisco, and Los Angeles, and provides over 1 million rides per day. The company was valued at U.S. $11.5 billion as of December 2017 and has raised a total of $4.11 billion in funding. Lyft expanded into Canada in December 2017 as a competitor to the already established Uber. So again, June 9th, 2012, that's when they were created. The revenue, $700 million U.S. dollars. Headquarters, San Francisco. The CEO is Logan Green. The founders are Logan Green and John Zimmer. They have their official website, Wikipedia, Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn. You know, again, if you're interested in doing these things, just know, you know, you have to go through their little check and their procedure. They check your driving record, and they check, they do a lot of checking.
And you gotta have insurance, obviously, your own insurance, right?
Yes, you definitely have to have your own insurance. And they really don't have time for any foolery. Like when I was driving today, it was so crazy. Like I did that drive that was $30-something, and I was like, cool, let me go do my cleaning job now. And all of a sudden a thing popped up, said, oh, we need for you to verify yourself. So they needed me to take a picture of myself. Again, you know, although I have a picture there, like we need a picture of you right now. So I just pulled over. Matter of fact, I was on the phone with Robert. I pulled over and I took a picture of myself real quick and I uploaded it, because you never want to create, you know, this is a company, you know, you are working for yourself, but essentially they do have rules and you don't want to mess your little situation up.
You're like an independent contractor.
Right. Yes. Independent contractor. So, you just want to make sure you're following everything, you know, and there is a rating system. So if you're crazy or you're treating your customers crazy, just know you're not going to get ratings and you could essentially be axed off the thing and you won't be driving for Uber. And you want to, again, make sure that your car is clean. I've never cleaned my car so much in my life. I mean, I'm totally a clutter person when it comes to my car, but I am like anal when it comes to cleaning my car. And it smells good and people have an enjoyable ride. You just kind of have to feel your customers out. You have conversation, but not just meaningless conversation. Don't just be talking about anything. Just really kind of let them lead and just get them where they need to go. You're not here to prove anything. You're here to just make some money. But I enjoy it. It's good. I mean, I get to listen to music and stop off and see new places in St. Louis that I've never seen before. So it's quite enjoyable for me. But that's the rideshare business, you guys. If you're interested, again, just reach out. weareblacksinbusiness@gmail.com. We will help you get signed up if that is what you want to do. And you can help Robert build his rideshare company that he is wanting to do. You know, we are in full support of that. Nothing wrong with going out on your own.
I have a comment about that. I mean, I would definitely do some research. I think it's definitely looking into, but Uber and Lyft is everywhere, so your competition is stiff. But one of the things I thought about was, see, I live in a rural area, so like, would that be the best place to focus on your service, would be in rural areas, considering that in urban environments you have public transportation, you just have so many other modes of transportation that you would have to compete with. You got the regular taxis, you got the Uber, you got the bus, you know, the public bus system, you may have trains or whatnot. Places where I live, I definitely see a need for it, because we don't have public transportation. You must have a car, or somebody must have a car in that household, until Uber and Lyft came along. Because some people, you know, they just want to go to the grocery store and they don't have no way of getting there. And we used to have a one car taxi company in Mount Holly, but I think Uber put them out of business.
Well, Uber put a lot of people out of business. But yeah, it's definitely worth exploring. And again, my advice would be, if this is something that you're interested in doing as far as creating your own, go ahead and be a driver. It doesn't hurt you to do your research. You have to do your own market research on these things when you start them. You know, it's not my advice to just jump in something without knowledge. And that's a lot of times why I do things, why I get into things, is so that I can see exactly how they work. But what we need to do is move on to the next topic, which is going to be Airbnb. Now, I don't know if you all have ever heard of Airbnb or companies like Airbnb, but Airbnb, just like Uber and Lyft, they don't own any hotels or anything like that. They don't Lyft and Uber, they don't own anybody's cars or anything like that, but they're able to utilize other people's stuff and make money. And that's what Airbnb is. And there are other places like Airbnb, or other, I should say, other apps like Airbnb. What it is a replacement for a hotel. Let's say I'm going on vacation and I want to stay somewhere and I want it more privatized, or I don't want to pay as much money. So I would go on the app for Airbnb and book a place that I would like to stay and go ahead and pay right there through the app, and the place is provided for me. And there's a variety available to you through Airbnb. You could rent just a room. You could rent a whole house. I mean, there's just so much of a variety. I mean, me personally, I don't know if I want to stay at somebody's house and just stay in a room. But, you know, people are open to many different things these days in making money. But this is definitely an opportunity for people that are looking to make some money. I mean, that could be really lucrative. I mean, if you have a house or an apartment or something like that, and you have room to do this, I would suggest that you really check into it. So we do have another video. Scotty, can you play that?
We're at the height of vacation season, and that means many families are on the hunt for that perfect rental. And now companies known more for their hotel and flight bookings are trying to give Airbnb a run for its money.
Get away. Get home away.
The race to help you plan the perfect vacation is heating up. Big names you know, like Expedia's HomeAway and Priceline's Booking.com, are trying to take a bite out of Airbnb's wild success. Airbnb itself, launched in 2007, blew away the existing competition. Now, companies that originally dominated hotel bookings are jumping into the home rental business to satisfy the rapidly changing tastes of travelers. Vacation home rentals are exploding, growing faster than hotels. Rentals shot up 11% last year. Airbnb is even attracting celebrity customers. Beyonce stayed in this villa near San Francisco, Gwyneth Paltrow in the French Riviera. Even the Kardashians stayed in this New York penthouse that can go for a cool $10,000 a night. While Airbnb boasts 3 million listings, Booking.com says they now have 7 million, and HomeAway offers more than 2 million choices. To fend off the growing competition, Airbnb is rolling out new, unique travel experiences targeted at millennials beyond just a roof over their head.
That's where we are going, an end-to-end travel platform where you can get unique, authentic homes, but also unique, authentic experiences. And at the end of the day, this is all about putting magic back into travel.
New startups like Beyond Pricing and Smart Host are also taking advantage of the vacation home rentals boom. They're helping owners figure out how much to charge when renting out their homes, especially if listing on multiple sites, as travelers peruse millions of possibilities to book that perfect getaway.
By the way, hotel chains are also feeling the pressure from Airbnb. Now some luxury hotels that have seen their bookings drop are offering deep discounts. So this is the takeaway. Before you book anything, do a very thorough search in multiple places before spending any money. Guys.
Sounds like a good plan,
advice,
doesn't it?
More competition, maybe that price will drop.
Yeah, good for everybody.
Right. All right, Joe. Thanks so much.
All right. That's the new technology in hotels, you know, and like they said, these types of situations are actually running the hotels or giving the hotels a run for their money. So we might see some price dropping in hotel rates. I don't know, because I know when I stay in a hotel or a motel or whatever I am, definitely looking for the best rate. So I will stay at the motel. No, not Motel 6, not really. But I will stay at one of those places that really are not that expensive. And I will use AARP. I will use, what is that other one? Groupon. I will look for the best deal I can and looking for a hotel. But it is high time that I go ahead and bite the bullet and stay at an Airbnb. I almost did when I went to Washington State, but it was a little far out, so I didn't go. But I think it is worth the stay, again, because I believe in, before you get into these things, go ahead and see how they actually work. Just take a note of how you would do things better, how someone else could have done them better for your stay. And if you're an entrepreneur, you like, your juices are flowing right now. You're thinking, okay, I could do an Airbnb. I can make it like a hotel. I can provide coffee, tea, and whatever. I can provide shopping for the person. I can provide car service. I could provide a car. I mean, there's lots of ways that you can make money in these things, you know. But again, I would totally thrust myself in the situation and stay at an Airbnb and see actually how they work. Because even in me driving Uber around St. Louis every weekend, which, I mean, there's always something going on, I'm always taking somebody to their Airbnb location. And the customer is always raving about their Airbnb. So I'm excited to learn about it myself. Robert, what do you...
Hello?
Yes, hello.
I thought I lost you for a moment. Oh, no. The Airbnb, I never heard of that until I actually met you. And, you know, being that that is a part of real estate, it is just incredible. I mean, you know, I've had an experience. It was like Airbnb. I rented rooms, and I've never rented. I rented an apartment one time out to a family, and I said I'd never do that again. My brother was renting rooms, and I actually saw how much money he was making off of renting rooms versus renting out a whole apartment. And when you had expressed to me about this Airbnb thing, I saw they're very similar. I mean, I really don't see any difference in renting rooms, and it's really the same thing. It's just going up under a different title. But it is very lucrative. I mean, you could turn a two-bedroom apartment or a three-bedroom apartment that you normally would get $500 a month for. I'm hypothetically saying this because there are some three-bedroom, $500 apartments. You can turn that three-bedroom apartment from a $500 monthly income to a $1,500 monthly income off of renting rooms. Now, let me flip the script. With the Airbnb, you can turn that three-bedroom apartment, somebody needs to rent this apartment for three nights or whatever. Well, in three nights, you can make probably about $375 off a three-bedroom apartment because you're renting it out for $175 a night. And see, that's the kind of money that really makes the real estate very, 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 very nice to own.
What I think the main thing is, one, of course, there's short-term stay, so that turnover could be much greater than having a monthly renter that you don't have to deal with all the time. So that turnover is just really great. And then also, I would think that in this opportunity, you'd be much more hospitable because, again, like I said, I would totally make it like a hotel. Like, I would offer all these services for the people. I would offer laundry service, maid service, car service, food service. I mean, I would offer it all. Of course, you charge for those things, but who doesn't like convenience? People are really willing to pay for convenience, especially if they're on vacation. They want to have a vacation experience. They want to have an out-of-town experience. Nobody wants to go out of town and have to work as hard as they do at home. So if you could provide more of that luxury atmosphere for them, people will just eat that thing up. That's what I
Right.
Well,
where'd it go?
The words right out of my mouth. A lot of what I was about to say, you just, yeah, but nevertheless, exactly. I mean, you know, with the point that you did say, what I was about to say, with when, you know, it's a short-term state, you know, and see, this thing, if you book it right, you can possibly have people at your building or at your home or wherever it is, you know, every day of the week, if it's especially if it's in the right area.
Here's the good thing about that. See, we're only talking about Airbnb, but there's so many sites that you can actually book your place on. So you essentially can have that thing booked out. Like, I've looked on Airbnb,
right,
and there was no vacancies. Like, the place that I want, no vacancies. Wow. Because, one, of course, the people book in advance because they know these holidays or whatever are coming up, so they book in advance. So when they book, that's when they pay. So, I mean, you could really be lining your pockets, I mean, if you do this the right way. So we just want to make sure, you know, you all know about that opportunity. And if you all are listening and you want to talk or comment, press **. Thank you, Otis, for commenting. But if you would like to have your voice heard, definitely press **. We would love to talk to you. But what we need to do is go to commercial right now, because we're going to come with our last guest of the night. But you're listening to Blacks in Business Radio, and this is on Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be back after these messages.
No, I'm not a writer.
Okay. Give up on my way.
Black Talk Radio, since 2008, providing new black media for the masses.
All right, everyone. Thank you again for joining us for the second hour of Blacks in Business Radio. We are here every Thursday at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, all the way till 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. You can feel free to go on www.blacktalkradionetwork and listen to all the fine shows that are available there. And make sure you support blacktalkmediaproject.org so that we can continue on with this programming that you are listening to right now. Our second guest of the night
Let me say something real quick before you, because I just wanted to point out these numbers. See, I had these numbers prepared, you see. Excited, and you got in there, and I couldn't say this, but let me give you these numbers so that you can get a visual, people, of what this Airbnb could possibly look like on a financial side of it. I just said to you that in renting rooms, you know, I made like $1,500 a month off a 3-bedroom apartment, but if you rented your house, a 3-bedroom, out at $125 a day, and you had that thing booked up every day of the week for 30 days, you would make $3,750 a month for that unit. Now, mind you, this doesn't necessarily...
You make how much? Say it again.
$3,750. And this doesn't necessarily have to be a place that you own either. You don't necessarily have to own the place to be able to do this. You can rent it.
Right, and it doesn't have to be, you don't have to own a property in the U.S. either. So there's places in vacation areas where you can simply rent the apartment, live in the United States, rent the apartment from the people, and have, you know, 10 to 20 different apartments that you rent, and then you Airbnb them out all the time. And you're never there. You just send a local cleaning company in to come and maintain it.
Who are we talking to?
This is James Hill with A Lambda Systems. I'm a software developer and investor here in St. Louis, a development.
Oh, James,
agency.
You were invited by Robert. Welcome, James, you software developer, you that's going to create Robert's app for his transportation system. Okay.
Thank you for having me.
Let's get that out the way. Sure. Okay. Well, listen. That's wonderful. If we have more fun facts about Airbnb or any other hostel or stay, let's make sure that we put that in Blacks in Business Radio, because we have got to make sure that we get on with our next guest. Okay. All right. So I have the pleasure of talking to my friend from Chicago that I've known for a little while, Joe Curry. And he is of Street Team Studios, and he is joined by, let's see how many people. He is joined by a whole lot of folks, y'all. So it's Joe, 1, 2, 3. Okay. Stanley, he's an artist and creator. Joe is a writer and creator. R.L. Scott, a filmmaker and director. And James Mason. So we're going to invite all of them on to talk to us. So let's get them all unmuted, which is okay. I think we've got three on right now. Who do we have on the line with us now?
Oh, this is Stanley Weaver.
Okay, Stanley, welcome.
Yeah, James Mason is on as well.
James Mason? James, I don't know what it is that you do with the company. I don't have that information.
Oh, that's right. No, I'm one of the co-owners of the Tiger character from the Urban Shogun universe. I'm also the colorist in the books.
Oh, okay. Let me see. Joe is not on yet. So do you all have the ability of giving the introduction of what the Mighty Street Team is?
Okay. Yeah, you filled in the gaps that I missed. But essentially, it started many years ago. We all had our own comics, and we kind of met on the Black Superhero Forum board, and we decided to kind of bring everybody together and pool our efforts, and that's pretty much how the Street Team was born. So we all kind of do comic, our own independent comics on the side. And we all came together to do a crossover for Street Team.
Okay, that sounds very interesting because as we have entered into this realm of Black Panther pandemonium, I think it's important that our listeners know that there is more and has been more than Black Panther out there. How did you all receive the Black Panther movie?
Well, I mean, Black Panther, of course, has always been a character that's always been around for a long time. So for many of us comic book creators, is wasn't something that was new and fresh. But just to see the reception that it's receiving right now amongst everyone, not only just Blacks, even when I'm on... even amongst my peers at work who are not Black, it just makes it much more relevant where now we see that, the old myth that, that Black characters, cannot be a marketable or sellable thing. So it brings a lot of pride, and to see that it was so well received and is doing so well, basically, gives creators such as ourselves the, just that idea that, you can probably get to those heights too, and, be it that it was created by, someone non-Black, but it still was able to be a great creation. Now that we, as the creators of ourselves, we have that ability now, and just gives us that much more amp to get out there and just push it. So when I saw the movie, it was just like just awesome, and just basically just to see the whole catalog, the Black African sci-fi and everything together, just basically pushed me even more to put it out there and get this Street Team thing going.
Yeah, I heard that, because, when I first discovered the Street Team, now Joe's going to come on in a second, he's trying to get in. When I first heard of, there he is there. Let me let him in. Welcome.
Yes, finally, back. If you heard, can y'all hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. How are you?
Word. I'm good, CC. What up, everybody?
What up, Joe?
Right. Right. So we're talking about the Black Panther movie, and we'll spin back around to you since you are my point of contact. Don't want to leave you out at all. But
I want to say hi to these guys because I didn't get introduced to neither one of you guys. So this is Brother Robert 11X. How you brothers doing?
I'm doing great. How you doing, bro?
Hey, what's up?
Okay.
I'm doing great. I'm doing great, and I want to commend you guys on the work that you're doing. I haven't seen your work, but this is a great time. I mean, especially on the heels of what's going on with this Black Panther thing, for any black comic business to actually get your foot really into this thing, into this Hollywood thing, or to whatever it is that you're doing on this end of the spectrum in that industry. This is just I'm assuming this would be the perfect time for you guys to really get launch off, take a good, you know, leap into the business. What you think?
Absolutely.
Right. I want to introduce myself as well to you guys. This is James Hill out of St. Louis. I work with Brother Robert, and I'm a fellow comic book geek. So I want to hear a lot about what you guys feel like the electronic comic book space is going to look like in the next coming years, with technology being available and not, you know, so much relying on the paper comic book, but the more HTML static live image comic books that you see sometimes.
Well, wait a minute. Before we get there, why don't we do this? We actually need to let Joe introduce himself and let us know what he needs to let us know, because again, he's our point of contact. Okay, Joe, go ahead and introduce yourself.
All right, my name is Joe Robinson Curry. I'm one of the creators as well, one of the members of the Street Team Studios. I could hear Mace when he was talking. He was saying that we all have our own independent comics of our own, but we merged together and formed one studio as a unit, and out of that studio, we made like a collaborative team book called, you know, the Almighty Street Team. So that's me. Also, as far as on the film tip, we have the director. We have a movie that's in pre-production now. I don't know if he can. I don't know whether you can see him or not. I think he called in. His name is R.L. Scott.
No, he didn't call. And he's not on the conversation, Joe.
Oh,
well,
okay,
wait a minute.
Okay.
Hold on. The movie's in pre-production. I thought I was supposed to be in the movie. What happened?
Word. I mean, but not.
Oh my goodness.
Hey man, you know, you never know. But but like you, somebody said a moment ago, as far as the look, as far as the with Black Panther and all, it's definitely a good look. It crushed a lot of ideals and kind of stereotypes about, you know, black led films. Comic book films or black-led films in general that don't really, they say they don't travel, I guess, but, you know, black, which means they don't do well overseas, but, you know, of course, Black Panther kind of destroyed that myth, so anybody who's doing comics, man, it's a pretty decent time to be in the game now, so,
yes, I agree.
Decent time to do comic books, even if Black Panther wasn't out. I think, regardless, you know, we still need representation in any form. So I would think that, you know, like you said, the young lady said before, there's been a lot of these black comic books and underground comics out a long time. So, I mean, I've got a list of comic books that have been done that I think, you know, could have been a good starting point. But even though Black Panther was a good wave, I think we still should have, you know, still could and still should of always had some sort of representation, especially in the comic book industry.
Now, well, I'm not a comic book connoisseur. I'm not a comic book connoisseur, and so I really don't know. The only comic books that I have read, and I'm just not being funny, I'm serious, is like Archie, Betty and Veronica and all that. I have not been into any other comic books. So, I mean, a person from the outside looking in, I think that this is great. You know, again, I knew about you before this Black Panther movie came out, and I just really want to make sure that our listening audience knows about you and is able to support you as this phenomenon has kind of opened up the door. But let me ask this question. Have you all been, I don't even know if this is like something, but I watched another show called Black Lightning. Have you seen that?
Yes, I saw maybe an episode or two. So once again, everyone who's a comic book geek knew about Black Lightning as well. So, you know, the form that is happening, and I wanted to go back to the gentleman's question about, you know, I think he was asking about the other way of comic books being, you know, touched by other ones. I think he would say digital and something like that. That is something that is, you know, a new form that's, you know, that's, as everyone's starting to roll away from comic books, it has become a bigger, more digital era where digital comic books are now in animation. Has been, and as you can see now, movies, as the young lady is saying, she's getting introduced to a lot of these characters now through the other medias besides comic books. So yeah, it's always, it's really important that we also try to conquer those areas too, to, you know, get out to the new to our new audience who may have never picked up a comic book a day in their life. So, you know, that's why it's so important with these new Netflix series, you know, made for television, digital comics, is very important. So I think that would be something that we should be interested in as well. But back to your question, Black Lightning, another one of the characters everyone knew about growing up. Most of us comic book geeks knew about Black Lightning with a new spin on it, the imagery, you know, quite different than what we knew from the open shirt Black Lightning, where he walked around with the 1970 open shirt. So it gives it, you know, looks really good, really cool. So I'm happy about that too. So it's just like it's coming from all fronts now. So that's a very good thing. So now we should, you know, really be jumping in there trying to push these images, you know, be it mainstream or underground.
Absolutely. Now, Brother Robert, I think you were trying to say something. What were you trying to say?
Yeah, well, he just said it, you know, timing is everything. You know, there's been a lot of guys that's done black comic books and all type of black comic heroes. And I've known some guys here locally, but it wasn't the right time for them to push the genre. So now that with Black Panther, if you're a business person, then from a business person's perspective, you ride this wave right here. This is the wave to ride. Ain't no doubt about it. If you got something going on in the black comics, this is the wave to ride. They got TV shows, Black Lightning. They got the whole world is looking for black heroes now.
That's right. Absolutely.
A lot of people talk down about the movie itself, but the side effect of this movie is tremendous, and it's creating a tremendous stream of opportunities or streams of income for other black film producers. There's black film producers that could have been done this, but they didn't do it. So we can't even worry about what they didn't do. Right now it's done, and I'm thinking they're over $1 billion now. Is that correct?
Yeah. Getting to the close, the $1 billion mark and exceeding that amount of money at this time. So yeah, this door has been swung wide open. So everyone definitely needed to get in there and, you know, basically run through that door that's open and the opportunity that's presenting itself to everybody.
And this is that time when you say, that T.D. Jakes book, being in position, getting in position. Well,
reposition yourself.
There you go. This is that time that you led up to this moment. You've been practicing. You've been training. Now here is the fight. It's time to go into the ring now. So if you got your material together, I don't know what the history of you guys, and I guess that's why you're on the show today, because definitely our people need to know about people like yourself that's doing these black comics and black heroes and haven't got the exposure. But hey, man, I just know if I was doing black comics right now myself, man, I would be all over that thing because it is huge now. So, man, it's,
yeah,
it's just
I like to follow on that comment you just said. Yeah, I totally agree with that. And behind the scenes, you know, we talked to the guys, we had this conversation, and even before Black Panther jumped, you know, I used to say that. I said, you know, with the advent of all these new streaming sites and Netflix and Amazon and so forth and so on, there's this one that comes out, you know, it seems like every other month. Those platforms need content. And then with comic books in general, superheroes have been on like a wave for a little while now. We've been creating comics. Every person on this phone is a veteran. Like we've been doing this for a while. So we kind of know that this is the wave that we want to actually capture. So we're going to do everything in our power to actually capture that wave. You know, we have off the comic itself, we produce a video game on our own, which Mace can tell you more about. He did the heavy lifting on it. We got signed up with RL's not on, but RL Scott and his development company for the Almighty Street Team film. And so that look is out there, and even with us getting looks, you still want to keep pushing forward. You still want to actually have your stuff ready, like you just said a moment ago. You want to be ready for when somebody is knocking. We have everything to present. We have a fan base. We've done the products that, you know, we've shown that we can actually produce the products that we have out. And now, you know, we're going to actually officially, our zero issue is our first. We're going to officially drop our number one issue later this year. So you're absolutely right on that.
Man, this, well, I'm excited for you guys. I just to see what this all black cast movie has done to the world. It reminds me of Muhammad Ali. That's how I like it. And there's a similarity because I definitely don't want to take nothing away from Ali because what he did was totally, you know. But I'm saying in the impact that it has on the world, I'm going to put it like that. The impact that this film has had on the world is similar to the impact that Ali has had in the minds of people. Now, black people have a more positive look in the world as it pertains to being a superhero. You already had children around the world wanting to be like our rappers.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that was not a very positive image to be wanting to emulate. But at least they got I ain't seen the movie. I just haven't watched. I watched 15, 20 minutes of the movie and I fell asleep or whatever. But, you know, just to have something that the world can look at black figures and emulate in a positive manner. Even though there may be, you know, we got a lot of conspiracy theorists and a lot of people that break movies down and, you know, a lot of people that's Illuminati and all this type of stuff. But sometimes, you know, when the devil plans, God is the best of planners. And what this does, in my opinion, for young children to look at themselves in a much positive light makes them feel better about themselves. And if it can make them feel better about themselves, even though Hollywood, the big devil, may have had one ideal, but then God is in control of all of it. So now you got young children looking at themselves and wanting to be this warrior or wanting to be this king, not even prior to that, maybe not even thinking of themselves like that. So it's a good thing. And now, following this, you guys producing film and producing apparel, producing all types of other items that can stem from this, action figures that could be generating money and creating jobs. This is a really good thing, I think, for black people.
I agree with that. I think the old imagery of being unapologetic black about your image and being in control of the image was something that this movie gives everyone like you said, just to see yourself as a hero, as the savior of yourself, and especially the message that was, if you ever get a chance to really watch the movie, you can see the message that's being, you know, resonated in the movie itself. You just gotta, you know, sit down, listen, and see what's, what is he saying, the director. I mean, it's just a, an awesome time to be a creator at this moment. I mean, you have black directors, you know, leading the way, you know, with Black Panther and now Wrinkle in Time. I mean, it just seems like it's one of these eras with the Black Renaissance of some sort that, you know, it's like, okay, you know, we got to get in there and contribute our part as well. I mean, so, yeah, this is one of these moments where we can either, you know, either use it to our advantage to, you know, force or, you know, move it forward, or we can lose it. So, you know, I think that what we're going to do, especially the group we got here, we're going to take this advantage. We're going to use it. We've been already been preparing for it. And like Joe was stating, you know, saturating this area with as much of much positive and much you know, imagery and content as possible. You know, besides street team,
you got
Maze with his book Urban Chauvin. You got Joe with his book Punks of Rage. You got Sean right now developing his book, the Azan book. You got Karan with his book, Aaron. You know, I got my book coming out, you know, Stalker Journals, which leads into the other comic book, New Jerusalem. So it seems like we're not just going to sit on the street team. We're going to build out. We're going to branch out. We're going to web, you know, web out. And, you know, we're going to try to give us... give the people what they want, the content that they need, and, you know, like you said, you know, build and contribute and you know, cause you know another media influx and another stream of economy for the community, whatever you want to say. You know, it's just like you said, just want to use the moments that this is. You got to take this chance and run with it.
Absolutely. Now, what are the plans that you all have for merchandising? I mean, I don't know if you are doing that yet, like with like mugs and T-shirts and that type of thing. Have you gotten into any stores? Have you been, like Robert talks about, trade shows? Have you been to any trade shows to market these superheroes?
I think Maze probably can have a better answer for that, because as far as a collective, I don't think we've done merchandising, you know, in any kind of big way. We all go to Comic Cons, we all do the trade shows, but I think Maze has a line of Urban Shogun shirts and stuff that, I mean, he may can talk more about that.
Okay.
Mason? Yeah, well, I mean, so I guess part of the point of all the crossover is just so that we could basically share our fans. So I know that, you know, Urban Shogun fans will be introduced to Street Team, and then they can be fans of the other characters. And same as with Joe, he can get Punks of Rage fans and introduce them to Street Team, and then they can see Urban Shogun. So we're kind of pushing Street Team and our own stuff concurrently. So yeah, I mean, I've got a bunch of Urban Shogun stuff, but, you know, we kind of all wanted to just swirl into, you know, one big company, basically, just because it's kind of the same fans, it's similar content. So, you know, if one of us blows up, then all of us blow up.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of what we're aiming for.
Mm-hmm. So totally makes
that
sense.
Type of apparel for your comic book characters, or anything available for you know, people to purchase to wear. Or have you headed in that direction, or what?
I would say I'm in that direction.
Yeah.
I think Sean has. I think his shirts, and I think he's more of along the line of doing merchandising for like clothing lines and stuff like that, which I believe that he's doing. But you know, we haven't gotten together. I mean, we discussed talking about shirts and things like that, apparel. We just haven't made it to that point yet. I know that we were talking about making shirts that was basically dedicated to each character, symbols and things like that. But that's just one of the many things that we need to, you know, look into as well, as far as marketing and things like that. We mostly do our own guerrilla marketing, you know, so to speak. We just, you know, get the word out. You know, Facebook, Instagram has been, Twitter. You know, those things have been, you know, our key for so far. We don't have that, you know, company that's behind us. So we just do everything on our own. Like you said, word of mouth plays a key. These conventions you go to, you know, like I said before, I think Mish hit it on the head. You know, we all pool in the same group of fans and connoisseurs of comic books, and you know, tends to cross over, like you said. Once one person tends to get a hold of a crowd of people, they tend to gravitate all, because like you said, what they want to know exactly, who is the street team and who is this character and who created this character. And next thing you know, they show up at your front door, and they become a fan. So eventually we're going to, you know, probably have to get a little bit more sophisticated and more to maximize our efforts, so to speak, by getting into the apparel, because we got plenty of comic books, we got plenty of posters. This imagery is already floating out there, so if anyone ever types in Google Almighty Street Team, you know, you'll see everything that we, you know, that we've done image wise. So it's not like we're hard to find. I mean, getting into the toys, getting into the shirts and things like that, that's just another avenue we're definitely going to explore. I've been talking to Joe on and off about marketing and, basically licensing and stuff like that. So, you know, we're still working through that way, you know, as we feel our way through this whole entire process.
Well, let me share this with
you. Hold on. Before we share anything, let's take our last commercial break for the evening. I will come back. You are listening to Blacks in Business Radio on Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be back after these messages.
Hello?
Yo.
Yeah. Girl, okay. We're going to go to a commercial. You guys are fine. Just sit tight.
Oh, okay.
Hold on.
Hi, the Black Talk Media Project would like to invite you to become a member of the BTR Community subscription-based social media platform. BTR Community is a platform that was set up for the listening audience of Black Talk Radio Network, the number one independent Black radio network online. For just $24 per year, your subscription gives you access to an interactive space to share information with like-minded people with your privacy guaranteed. Your subscription will go a long way to help us maintain and improve our current media platforms. It will also help provide a budget so that we can begin the task of establishing localized media centers and radio stations across the United States. The best way to show your support and appreciation for what we do here at Black Talk Radio is to subscribe. Help us to help you be informed. Join BTRCommunity.com today.
All right, everybody, thank you for joining us for the last half hour of Black Talk Radio Network's Blacks in Business Radio. We are talking to the Almighty Street Team. I am one of your hosts, Cece Harry, and I'm joined by my co-host, Brother Robert 11X. And we are continuing on with the conversation. Robert was asking a question. Go.
No, I was going to suggest this to the brothers. So, you know, one of my strong points in my business for the past 24 years have been the introduction to trade shows. And I heard the brother mention Comic-Con, which I'm familiar with it. I have no reason to be at Comic-Con. However, I do know about it. I don't know when it is. Again, that's not what I do. But what I do know is there are two shows that come to the top of my mind that you guys absolutely must be at. you must be at the AFD show coming up in August. And it's A as in Apple, S as in Sam, D as in Dog, in Las Vegas. That's the general merchandise show. Very, very huge show, worldwide show for all vendors and manufacturers from all over the planet Earth. We'll be at that show in Las Vegas. All kinds of T-shirts, all kinds of stuff. And then the next show that you must attend for sure, because you're going to have the who's who in the hip-hop industry that has fashion apparel, is the Magic Trade Show in Las Vegas, Nevada. The Magic is the most world-renowned trade show for the fashion industry. The who is there. Whoever is the big name in the fashion, from polo to the lowest thing that you can find in fashion, will be at the Magic Show. And you should really look those two shows up. It's called the Magic. If you Google it, Google Magic Clothing Trade Show in Las Vegas. Mention clothing behind Magic, because if you just Google the Magic Show, it's not going to give you anything dealing with clothes. But if you Google Magic Clothing Show in Las Vegas, you will get that trade show. I've been to that trade show. Give you an example of how powerful this trade show is. I met Russell Simmons, and I thought that I was going to have a tough time talking to Russell Simmons, but to my surprise, I spent 30 minutes talking with this man, wondering, why is he still talking to me? And it dawned on me, he read my badge. My badge says vendor. He's an attendee. His badge said attendee, attendee, I think is what it said. But he had his booth set up. He knows that I'm there to buy merchandise for my store. So he entertained the conversation. At that point, I realized this is the type of show that I need to be attending in everything that I do. I need to attend these type of shows, because it puts me on the list of important people for them to meet. So if you guys had a booth at this show, and you say you got a street team, I'm going to give you the game on that. If you got a street team and you go up in that show, five or six deep, four of your people actually work that booth. The other four people got your business cards, and you're out on the floor, you're scouting. Four of you should be wearing an attendee badge, and the other four should be wearing a vendor's badge, because the vendor's badge allow you to go all throughout the show. But the attendee badge, you can't walk through the show, because you are a person that's wholesaling to the guys like me that own stores. So you guys can't even walk the floor. You have to stay at your booth. So when I realized all that, I said, well, then you need a team to actually walk the floor, and you need a team to actually stay at the booth. This way, your line of what you do is more visible. You can go out and scout the people who you really want to have, the business people that are there, who you really want to meet that you don't even know you want to meet. But you're able to now go to other business people like yourself that may have a stronger bank and may be able to actually aid and assist you to get you to the next level of the game.
Somebody has got some serious background noises. You have to be very careful, because we can't hear if you have background noise going on. I'm sorry, Brother Robert. Go ahead.
Yes, ma'am. So these are two shows that I know right away that you got enough time right now to plan for these shows. Now, also, I heard that one of you brothers are in Chicago. Chicago is another city that people are really sleeping on in terms of trade shows. The McCormick Center hosts a lot of trade shows. I slept on Chicago. I'm 4 hours away from Chicago. I've been entrepreneur for almost two decades and a half, and I did not realize how significant Chicago is to the trade industry and retail industry throughout the United States. I didn't have a clue that Chicago was as big as it is, and so now that I know that, I've been doing more homework in reference to learning more about Chicago and its business opportunities as it pertains to trade shows. So right up under your feet right? I'm talking literally up under your feet. They have trade shows. I've been to a few trade shows, clothing trade shows in Chicago, and then some other general merchandise trade shows in Chicago, but none at the McCormick Center as of yet. So you guys got time to actually research the cost of a booth in Las Vegas at the Magic Show, and you don't have to get the premium size booth. I'm sure you can get some $3,000-$5,000, but if you plan ahead of time, you definitely want to be at that show for sure, as well as the ASD show. So you can look that up on the internet, and you got time to plan and plan on being there as well. Now, when you at this Magic Show, have your comic books, have your posters, create the theme for your booth before you even get there. And it can be very simple, but yet dazzling to the eye. But all your theme is everything that you guys do. And that way, you've got the impression. You got them to feel what you're trying to get them to feel. And you know, you can do that. However that looks to you guys is however you would do that. But the main thing is getting at these shows and making sure all that you do, all that you have to offer is at the show, at that table, at that booth. Leave nothing behind. Everything that you have your hands in, dealing with that comic, with the comic book or whatever, the movie, all of it, if it's finished, needs to be at the show. And if it's not finished, it needs to be literature saying coming soon, so that, because you're on the world stage at these particular shows. So I wanted to give you that, brothers, because we have to be where the people are that could possibly create the opportunity for us to go to the next level. And trade shows, in my opinion, it definitely are those venues.
Well, we got that. Right. I think we have that part right there. You know, we got a lot of people that do the conventions and stuff like that. We'll definitely be looking into that. Thanks for that information. That really opened it up for us. I wanted to interrupt, but I think we got another person who joined in. And Sean, I think Sean's on the line now. He's the other part of the group. I was just informed. I don't know if he got the noise but heard. I just want to make you aware of that, ma'am. I'm sorry about that.
So is Sean about trying to join?
I think Sean's on right now, correct? No, I guess
Sean?
Not. I'm sorry.
Are you on? No.
I apologize about that. Yeah, I thought he sent us a message that he was calling in, too. Maybe that was the noise that we heard. I was wanted to make everyone aware of that. So,
well, let me look real quick. Hold on. Let me look. Joe sent me a long list of everybody. So let's
I had the people who were coming in. It should be a 267 number. Sean had a schedule conflict, so I didn't know whether he was going to make it in time.
Oh, 267. Let's see. No, I don't see. Oh, wait, let me look at the bottom.
Is he muted?
Oh, here he is. He's muted. I got it. Here he is. Hi, Sean. Welcome.
Hey, good night. Welcome. I didn't want to interrupt because I'm in transit, so I don't know if that was a noise y'all heard. So sorry about that.
Oh, it's okay. Let us know what piece of the puzzle you hold.
Oh, I just come in as the inker on top of Stan's pencils. So adding that little extra polish to his already incredible work. You know, so for all the people out there who don't know usually the way it works in a comic book is like there's a penciler, there's an inker, there's some people that are blessed to be able to do both, but the inks give that finished polished look to the pencils to make it ready for the colors and then ready for the printed process. So I come in with that, and then I assist Jill and Caron in polishing up the script, you know what I mean, just like another set of eyes. You know, because, you know, I'm sure the guys already said, and you know, it's a team effort, and there's no egos or anything involved. So, you know, we all come together and just make sure that we have the best product possible. So that's where I come in.
Okay. Well, sounds like you are a large piece of the puzzle. That's great. Well, we definitely want to make sure that we are, oh, my goodness. We want to make sure that you all are having notoriety on our platform. So make sure you join us, Blacks in Business, in your particular city, because we do have Blacks in Business in everyone's city. So you can showcase what it is that you're doing and any upcoming information. Now, when should we expect the film to be out?
I think R.L. Scott advised us he's working on a project right now called Lazarus. It's a movie made for Netflix. I think he's finishing up that. We were advised that he would roll right into the Feminine Street Team. So he thinks he's going to have his first announcement of the production of a movie. I think he said July. I think okay. He said July. So I think he said around July he's going to make the public announcement about the movie itself. So, you know, I'm thinking we're looking at a release date for the movie, live action movie, 2019. So somewhere in 2019. So we're still, you know, we don't have a specific date yet.
Okay, plenty of time to write me in. Okay, mm-hmm. So don't forget.
Right. Well, but okay, we're okay.
so we want to make sure that everybody can access the information. So Joe, go ahead and let everybody know where to find the platform and how to contact you all if they may be interested in joining the Almighty Street Team, because I'm sure you want more members.
Absolutely. Well, as far as our, we have the main internet site and address is almightystreetteam.net. That's our main site. You can go to Facebook and find us, our page at Almighty Street Team, and Instagram as well. On Instagram, we're known as the Almighty Street Team, and it'll come up. You know, I think it's an underscore, but if you just type in Almighty Street Team, our page will come right up.
All right. Go ahead. Any other comments from you, brothers?
Yeah, we'll definitely keep you informed as far as the movie, as the movie process, you know, goes forward. As far as our upcoming book, we have a Street Team. Like I said earlier, we have a Street Team number one that's in the works now that should be coming out later on this year. Mace may have some Urban Shogun projects he's working on. Or Mace, do you have anything you're working on currently that you want to talk about?
Yeah, I'm writing the next issue of Urban Shogun. It's going to be issue 4. So hopefully that will be mid-2019 as well.
Okay. And then Stan has a joint and Sean has one as well. Stan, what do you have coming out after the Street Team number one?
Right now we're working on the Stalker Journals, which is the prequel to the sequel. That's what I like to call it, which is the beginning story that actually starts the beginning of the what we call the catalyst to the Street Team comic book. So I'm working on that. I'm looking somewhere to try to drop that in 2000. If I'm good enough, maybe 2019 as well. So look out for Stalker Journals.
And then Sean has something as well. Sean?
Hey, so I got a spinoff character from the Street Team. I'm looking to get it out this year. And, you know, just working. I do full-time freelance art, so always working on some kind of project, always doing commissions. So throughout the year, there's going to be something coming out. So look for all that stuff.
Okay. Yep. Well, we look forward to looking for all that stuff.
To one more plug and one more thing. I'm sorry.
No, you're good.
The Punk the Rage is a series I've been working on for a long, long time. The first arc, the first storyline is finishing this year as well. So Punk's Rage number 6 will be out, and it'll be wrapped up in the graphic novel. So whomever's out there, whoever heard of the Punk's Rage, the whole series from beginning to end will be in the graphic novel form at the end of this year. So that was my last plug on that. But anyway,
one more thing I forgot to mention. Aaron, Karan's book, Aaron, I don't know if he's working on that or not. Sean, is he working on the book for that too? Do you have any information on that one for Karan?
We're doing one of the main characters in Street Team. He's going to be getting his own book that's going to be dropping soon too. Everything is still in progress. I want to say by the end of the year, but you know, if not, 2019 looking like it's going to be a strong year for all the members, so everything's in the works.
Sounds
absolutely
excellent. Well, we are so proud of you all. You know, we have to keep this information going. Now, if you all need help in getting that research done and getting the, because it's important that you get the t-shirts and the mugs and all that, we want to help you do that. That's what Robert and I do. We want to aid and assist you into heightening your business and really making your business lucrative, because it is important. If Wakanda can do it, you can do it too. So we want to definitely help you do that. And right out the gate, I know that right in Atlanta and around the United States, there's a mass-producing T-shirt company called Big Frog. So you can go to bigfrog.com and consult with them and find out what it would be to produce T-shirts. I know about Big Frog because I have another client who was also a guest on our show. Her name is Linda Keaty. She has a line of party supplies geared toward people of color, and she uses Big Frog. So check into Big Frog, but if you need help getting the other information together, we will definitely help you. Just reach out to us at any time. But we want to, at this time, tell you thank you so much for joining us on Blacks in Business Radio. Feel free to come back at any time. We also would like to produce a commercial for your upcoming event, so make sure you reach out to us. Thank you so much, Joe. Robert, you want to go ahead and tell everybody goodbye?
Hey, man, I appreciate the work you guys are doing. I wish you much success. As she said, as Cece said, if we can aid and assist you in anything, please reach out to us. Definitely follow up on the trade show. If you need any type of virtual assistant help on that level, contact Cece Harry on that. She can definitely help you on that. But definitely take advantage of those trade shows, and I guarantee you, it just takes you to a whole nother level of the game.
All right. Well, real fast, thank you so much for that, Brother Robert and Cece. Thank you for having us on again. We appreciate it, you know, a lot, you know, for giving us that look and the platform to talk about this and for the assistance. So I wanted to say thank you both very much for having us on. We appreciate it.
Thank you. And we look forward to talking to you all soon. Okay. Now you guys have a great night. Now, everybody, this just in, breaking news. I'm going to go ahead and mute everybody. They can stay on if they want. That's not a problem. But breaking news. You know, I had like a whole plan for the information. I didn't mute you, Robert. Thank goodness. The information for Airbnb. I actually forgot about this. Airbnb has like been deemed like racist as a platform. And so there are other platforms out there for this this hotel alternative. And so I'm going to read an article really quick. We have 10 minutes, but I'm going to read it. It says, competing startups with the same name want to fix Airbnb's race problem, okay? So Airbnb has a race problem. Black users have had rentals declined by hosts for no reason other than their race. Some have had the police called on them while in the midst of a rental. These stories and others have been shared on Twitter with the hashtag Airbnb while black. And a man named Gregory Selden has even filed a lawsuit against the company, arguing it violated the Federal Civil Rights Act. As Selden's lawsuit winds its way into conclusion, Ronnie Acheri, Stephen Grant, and Rohan Gilks have put together a Silicon Valley style solution, short-term rental platform created specifically for and by people of color, as a means to circumvent the racial discrimination that non-whites, particularly black people, face on Airbnb. There's just one small hiccup. Gilks founded a website called norbnb.com, while Cherry and Grant started one named norbnb.com. As of yet, the site's founders say they will not be joining forces. Isn't that sad? Cherry, Grant, and Gilks came up with the idea for an Airbnb for the people of color community independently, each spurred on by the encounters with racism while using the original service. For Cherry and Grant, it was having the police called after neighbors spotted them in an Airbnb rental in Georgia last October. Cherry is a strategist, producer, and designer. Grant is an event coordinator and performer. The two were in Georgia working on a music festival. The cops thought they were robbing the place, Grant said. They showed up with guns drawn. Luckily, we were able to de-escalate the situation. We took a selfie and turned it into something positive. And the selfie is here. And we will also share this article in Blacks in Business Radio. Matter of fact, I think I already did. This May, Gilks tried to book a room on Airbnb in Idaho for the 4th of July. After his would-be host told him the dates were no longer available, he tried and failed to book the room for a different weekend. When Gilks asked a white friend to book the same dates, well, you could probably guess what happened. My friend was able to book the room, he said. Gilks penned a Medium essay about the incident, which you can read here. Both Grant's selfie and Gilk's essay quickly went viral, spurring response from Airbnb. The company apologized to both parties, offering free stays to make up for what happened. Gilks told him he declined the offer, and Cherry and Grant said they knew that wasn't going to solve the bigger issue. They were right, given that their bad experience predated Gilks by about 6 months. So it's been going on. Airbnb seems to have recognized the challenges it faces. It just announced a new diversity hiring initiative. Airbnb staff is 63% white. Surprise. In what seems like an attempt to undo some of the bad press the company has seen as of late, including Seldon's lawsuit, the company also publicized banned two hosts this month for harassing Black and transgender travelers. Meanwhile, a Harvard study found people with African-American sounding names have a harder time booking on the platform. But Gilks, a tech entrepreneur by trade, says Airbnb's response to his essay was, quote, a little too late. When I started getting all these emails from people, Black people, trans people, gay people who were all going through the same thing, I felt like I had an obligation to do something, Gilks told me. He started working on NorBnB this spring. Cherry and Grant started planning NorBnB early November 2015 when they reached out to Airbnb about their project. The company flew the pair to San Francisco, to discuss it. We gave them the full pitch for the site and told them our main goal was to make sure that these situations never happen again, Grant said. We told them we foresaw more of these discrimination issues happening in the future. This was before hashtag Airbnb while Black happened. Still, Cherry and Grant say Airbnb didn't prioritize their proposal. Airbnb thought these issues would go away, but instead they've just gotten bigger, Cherry said. We've decided to do it on our own after we realized Airbnb wasn't going to be directly tackling this issue. And while each site will cater to people of color, they both plan to welcome all people looking for safe and inclusive travel experiences. Neither party provided explicit ways they will enforce this inclusivity, but Cherry said NorBnB is being designed to educate and empower, while Gilk said NorBnB will feature strong discrimination policies. Both websites are currently accepting names, but aren't operational yet. Cherry and Grant's site went live last Friday, and they already have numbers in the thousands, while Gilk's hit the web on Saturday, and over 23,000 people have already inquired. Airbnb declined to comment on either site. Prior to Friday, we had been holding the domain name and working on our back end, Cherry explained. When we announced on Friday, another company with a similar name, NorBnB, contacted us. The two sites have been in discussion last Friday, but have not come to any agreement about joining forces. Okay, so the article goes on and on and on and on and on.
Right.
But I put it in Blacks in Business Radio, and you all can definitely read it there. But that is just to say there are more platforms out there. Be careful of discrimination. Be careful of people treating you wrong. You know, we know that happens all the time. So look up NorBnB. Nor is spelled N-O-I-R-E, NorBnB. And I would say if you're going to do this, put yourself on every platform. You know, go ahead and do that. But I just wanted you to know at the last minute that breaking news that I just found
right.
So that you will be informed. But we are so thankful that...
Let me say something before we close out, okay?
Okay,
so on the heels of what she just said, BIB is Black in Business, okay? And we are in 100% support of Black-owned businesses that provide services like that company that is discriminating against Black people. So we are in no way supporting any company outside of Black companies that are racist and have those type of views when it comes to Black people. So I will not recommend my people to do any business with that, whatever that, what is it called, Airbnb? No.
Airbnb.
When you look for a company, Black people, when you take your money, you spend your money with Black people, because we have to come out of America, the mindset of dependency, the mindset of giving our money to our open enemies, okay? I'm using this language, and I'm standing on this language, and I'm standing on what I'm saying, because we have the financial means to support our own cause. We can't keep giving our money to people that don't give a damn about us.
So all of these things that they have in play, we can look at it, study it, and create it for ourselves. That's okay, what we have to do.
Listen, there's another company before we have to go off, another company called Inclusive. So there are black platforms that are representing us that are not discriminating. So we want to make sure that we do our homework, but just know that this opportunity is definitely there for us. You don't have to not do this. You just have to do your research. But like I said, Inclusive, that website is up and going. And as I find out more information, I will place it in Blacks in Business Radio, okay? But we definitely have to go for the night. This has been a very eventful show. We thank you to all our guests. Brother Robert, I thank you. Scotty, thank you also. We look forward to talking to you all next week, where our guest will be Ankh Aku. And we just want to tell you good night. This has been BIB Radio. Good night.
Good night, family. We'll be right back.